Vaishnavi. Bahu, many. Janma, births. Kare, does. Yadi, if. Shravana, hearing. Kirtana, chanting. Tabu, still. Ta, in spite of. Na, does not. Pai, get. Krishna Pade, unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Premadana, love of Godhead. Translation of the verse. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Please repeat after me. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead. That is the ultimate goal of this chanting. The following purport was written by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says in this connection that although one may go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of attaining the platform of devotional service unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must follow strictly the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Sikshastaka, number 3. Trinad api sunichena, taror api sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. One who follows this direction, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance. But in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Absolute are all as good as the Absolute Himself. Thus, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name, and in this spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. One who chants in this spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of God are identical. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of God directly. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is clearly said, Sevon Mukhe Ijivadao Svayam Eva Spuratyada. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. This service in a submissive attitude begins with one's tongue, Sevon Mukhe Ijivadao. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. Since the holy name and Krishna are non-different, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement not only chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, but also do not allow their tongues to eat anything that is not first offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord declares, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tad Aham Bhaktyuparitam Ashnami Prayatatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has many temples all over the world. And in each and every temple, the Lord is offered these foods. On the basis of his demands, the devotees chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly and never eat anything that is not first offered to the Lord. The functions of the tongue in devotional service are to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and eat prasadam that is offered to the Lord. Bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtana tabu tana pai krishna pade premadana. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapayantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitancha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have information from scriptures that the Supreme Lord and his associates come in this world in different forms. Sometimes he comes in his personal form, just like 5,000 and something ago, as Sri Krishna, Shyamasundara, here in Vrindavan, in Brajamandal, and some other time in other peculiar forms, like sometimes he comes as a river, sometimes as a mountain, sometimes as an eagle, different kinds of avatars, different kinds of incarnations. So in Kali Yuga, he comes in another very peculiar form, just like we cannot make difference between Sri Krishna coming in human-like form 5,000 years ago. At the same time, we cannot, and it should be a great mistake, making differences between his holy name and himself. It is true that it's very difficult to see the personality, the world, the place, the words, everything, the pastimes going on in the spiritual world in a sound. Because for us, for those who are not pure devotees, Hare Krishna is just a sound, just like any other sound. Of course, it can't be like any other sound, because we can try for, not for years, not for 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years. Some of us have been a devotee of 45 years. And we have been chanting Hare Krishna every day, thousands of times every day. So you try to chant every day any name in this world. Try to do that. You know, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith, John Smith, you know. How many minutes you get tired and bored and say, what am I doing? Oh, this is nothing. This is just a sound. It doesn't mean anything. It will not give me anything. Because it is a material sound, it refers to a material person. So it cannot give us anything. Just like we cannot clean up ourselves with dirt. We need water, and we need clean water. If the water is not clean, or we clean our body with something else, then we don't get cleaned. If we want to clean ourselves from material contamination, then we need something that is not material. You cannot purify matter with matter. You need you have to purify matter with something that is opposite in quality. There is matter and there is spirit. If we want to give up matter, we need spirit. So Krishna has decided by his own sweet will in Kali Yuga to appear in his full potencies. Full potencies means there is just no difference between his name and himself, in the form of a sound. When we say Krishna, we don't know it. We cannot perceive it. Of course, there may be many pure devotees in front of me. I'm talking generally. Those who are not pure devotees cannot perceive the form of the Lord inside the sound. Those are pure devotees when they say Krishna. When they say Krishna, it's not just a sound. In his heart, in his mind, he sees Krishna. He sees the form. He sees the flute. He sees his blue, dark skin. He sees his white dhoti. He sees the pastimes. He hears his voice. And he can hear his flute. And he can hear the laughing between himself and the gopis. Everything is there. This is the only explanation possible. How is possible that somebody can chant his name year after year after year after year? And you can see people, at least we do something else after chanting our 16 rounds. We have to manage, we have to preach, we have to print books, we have to distribute books. But try to understand, put in the shoes of those who do not do anything else, but just chanting all day long, 64 rounds at least. Sing to Haridas Thakur, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, morning to the evening. Half hour just to sleep and eat. Can you imagine? How is this possible? What did he found in these names? not to do anything else but be perfectly happy, satisfied, and so purified and powerful inside that he was able to resist to the most beautiful woman in this world. We see instances of very great sages, great sages, meditating, like, you know, there was one funny way of telling the story of Baguri Rishi, meditating in the Yamuna for thousands of years inside the Yamuna, not outside the Yamuna. So he was meditating, he didn't need to breathe, because everything is inside, you don't need air. When you are the perfect yogi, you don't need air. So he was like, so one day he saw two fishes mating, and he became so agitated that if he didn't want to come out, he would have died. He was just, he needed air. Just in 1 second, seeing two fishes. Of course, we know the story why he made a big offense. Without offenses, big offenses, you don't get at that point of destroying your meditation just for seeing two fishes mating. So he couldn't. Jai Sri Krishna Balaram ki, Jai Sri Radha Shyama Sundara ki, Jai Sri Gaura Nitai. So how come a great rishi doing such a big austerities fall down in that way? And how is it possible that Haridas Thakur not only did not fall down, but purified the woman who came to disturb his meditation? Why? What is the difference? The difference is that the yoga is karmakanda. You do it for something. Chanting Hare Krishna is full in itself. You don't do it because you want to get to something else. You don't do it because you want to go to the spiritual world. While you chant Hare Krishna, you're already in the spiritual world. When you chant Hare Krishna, it's not that you want devotee service, because that is already a service. It's full in itself. So while Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy name Hare Krishna, he didn't need anything material nor spiritual, because he had everything already. So he was so happy, so full and satisfied. So this name is Krishna himself, and we had to serve this holy name by chanting every day faithfully, 16 rounds at least minimum of our mala. And what is the right way to chant? At the beginning, you just hear the names. Hare Krishna says your tongue, and Hare Krishna has to be heard by your ear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 3, 4, 5 mantras, your mind will go guaranteed to think something else. If you can concentrate more than 5, 10 mantras, you are a very advanced soul. So what to do? You just take your mind and bring it back. That's yoga, controlling the mind. Then you chant other 5, 6, 7 mantras and you go, and your mind will go somewhere else again. Then you take the mind and say, no, I want you to stay on the mantra. But the mind will say, no, I want to sing something else because I like it. And then you tell your mind, dear mind, I don't care what you like. Life is not meant to live according to what I like. Life is meant to live on what is right. Like and right are two different things. Sometimes they coincide. They're not the same thing. Often, they're not the same thing. So how do we know what the difference between right and like? Shastra, guru, and sadhus, they will tell you what is right, And when your mind thinks to something else, you say, not your mind. I know you like to think something else, but I know what is, my intelligence know what is right. And I request you, I demand you, that you go back to the mantra, because my Guru Maharaj told me that, because the Shastra is telling me that. So you must do it, bring it back. So someone will say, well, this is quite cumbersome and difficult. Well, did anyone told you that Krishna consciousness was easy? You know, the other day, I was giving a Bhagavad Gita class there, and I was talking about several things, several topics. And one thing is that there are yogis who meditate for thousands of years just to get some temporary mystic power, like reading the mind or floating in the air, like this, thousands and thousands of years up on the Himalaya doing terrible austerities, very, very difficult. And then this is something temporary. You fly, and after a while, boom, you fell down. Why? Well, because your good karma, your bank account on mystic power is elapsed. And then you think, that's all, thousands of years, and I find myself again, boom, bumped on the floor, it was worse. So then maybe that we had to make some effort to purify our mind, chanting Hare Krishna, take the mind and bring it back on the mantra. Yes, it's not easy, but Krishna consciousness, it will give you something eternal. Why shouldn't we be available for some austerity, just chanting and try to control the mind in this way, and we don't want to do it because it's a little difficult? We get something eternal. We go back to the spiritual world forever. So this is worth, while everything else is not worth. So, about the tattva and also the rasa, transcendental plan of the Mahamantra, we can go on talking for hours and hours, days and days and months, and write books. It's such a wide topic. But since Srila Prabhupada here in the purport mentioned the 10 offenses, I think it's our duty to read the 10 offenses, say something about those. And by the way, since I know we have quite some time, to do not arrive to 10 minutes to 9 and asking, is there any question, and nobody has any question, that I don't know what to do for the next 10 minutes. So please, don't put me into this embarrassment, and raise your hand if you have any question. I will see you, and then depends on how many hands are raised, I will give the time for questions and answers. If nobody will raise hands in the next 10 minutes, I will go on talking until 9 o'clock. Is that fair? Is that okay? Okay. There is nothing more embarrassing for a speaker to say any question and nobody has any query. You don't know what to do, you know. Okay. So, the 10 offenses from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada mentioned them. And the first one is to blaspheme a devotee of the Lord. This is the worst. This is the worst. You can do many offenses, and in a way or another, you come back to Krishna consciousness. I've seen this. Being a devotee for so many years, now more than 40 years, I've seen this. Many devotees go, and, you know, for some puny, foolish thing, like attachment to something, you know, they do something, then they come back. All of them. But if you try to justify your fall down, trying to find faults to devotees, and this is unfortunately very common, I didn't fall down because I was attached to material things. I fell down because this devotee, because the devotee, or the thing happened. We try to justify it ourselves. this is unfair, this is dishonest, and we should not do that. Just admit, at least to yourself, if you are too puffed up to say, dear Prabhu, I fell down because I like this, okay? Just don't say anything, just shut up and say it to yourself. I fell down, not because of anyone, but because I was weak. That's it. So devotees are sacred from the any Bhakta Joe to the sannyasis and gurus and everybody. Everyone is very dear to Krishna. There is no difference in quality. Of course, the devotees more is advanced and more dear to Krishna. On another hand, Krishna is impartial to all his devotees. And sometimes Krishna loves more the devotees who has difficulties. Just like whoever here is a parent, they know this. If you have 2 or 3 children, of course, the most successful and beautiful and strong, you love him. But if you have a son who has difficulties, then you try to help him more. Then you love him more because he has difficulties. He needs you. So Krishna loves his devotees a different perspective, in different ways. He loves everybody. So don't think I can criticize the devotee because he's just a Mr. Pot Washer. But no, the sannyasi will not criticize him. Don't do that. This is very imprudent. Very imprudent. Don't do that. Try to respect all the devotees. And in this way, you will be free from this very, very grave offense. And especially the guru, the spiritual master, we have number 3, to neglect the orders of the spiritual master, but disobeying to the spiritual master, it falls under the first offense. Okay? Don't think my spiritual master. Yesterday I got confused. One devotee told me 8:16. So I took my iPad where there are all the books of Srila Prabhupada books and everything. It's so light, it's nice to have all everything of Srila Prabhupada with me. So I took the wrong book. I took the Antya Lila, 8:16. So the chapter 8 of Antya Lila is about Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri was a big offender. And of course we know who Ramachandra Puri really is, but you know, in that past time Ramachandra Puri was a big offender. And Srila Prabhupada was very precise in saying that his biggest offense is offense to his spiritual master, who was and is Ramachandra Puri's spiritual master. There was Madhavendra Puri, one of the greatest pure devotee ever walked in this planet. So Madhavendra Puri was meditating and lamenting because he couldn't reach Krishna. And Ramachandra Puri came to the spiritual master and said, well, what are you doing? Why are you lamenting for someone like this? You try to remember the spiritual quality, the Brahman, because Ramachandra Puri was infected by Mayavada philosophy. And Ramachandra Puri was so disturbed that he kicked him out and said, don't show your face to me. Otherwise, if I die in this moment looking at your face, I will never get my Krishna. So offenses to Vaishnavas and the Guru is very, very serious. Don't do that. I saw many devotees falling down for this reason. I remember in 74, there was this thing about the man going to the moon, and Srila Prabhupada was doubting the thing and was saying, no, he didn't go to the moon. Of course, this is a complex topic. We are not going to deal with it now. It will take too much time. And at best, you know, they went somewhere else, or maybe they didn't go anywhere, they just cheated. After 20 years, there are so many people still doubting that. But this is not the point. The point is that while Srila Prabhupada was saying that, some of his disciples started to doubt Srila Prabhupada. And I remember meeting with my god brothers at that time, discussing about this thing, and there was one group of devotees saying, you know, why Srila Prabhupada is saying this? We saw the man on television, we saw in TV, and moon can be seen, you know, it's not as far as Shukadeva Goswami says in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how is it possible? And then there was another group of devotees saying, but who cares? Who cares if they went or not to the moon? He cares a lot to keep our faith on the spiritual master. That's a care that we should care a lot. Because this is a principle that is very fundamental for our spiritual master, for our spiritual life. In the Mahabharata there is a very nice story. Guru and disciple teaching, the room was a little dark, and there was one rope lying on the floor. So the guru was teaching, disciple was learning, and the guru then said, oh, there is a snake, take a stick and kill it. So the disciple turned and saw a rope on the floor, took it, and he didn't tell to the guru, Gurudeva, it's not a snake, it's a rope. He took the stick and he beat it, and then sat down. After some time, that the guru was again explaining who knows what, and the guy said, oh, there is a snake, take a stick and beat it. And the disciple again stood up. He didn't say, Gurudeva, you know, I already did it. It wasn't a snake, it was a rope. He again stood up and beat the... he did that 5 or 6 times. And never one time the faithful, nice, advanced disciple said, Gurudeva, you already told me that, I already did that, it's a rope, don't you see? Because he was understanding that who cares if it is a rope or a snake? The point is that when Guru says something, you just do it. You just do it. Doesn't matter if from the point of view of tattva is correct. Who cares about tattva? The more important is the faith to the Guru. Because the Guru is the one who represents Krishna. We didn't even know who Krishna was without our spiritual master. When Srila Prabhupada came, I was remembering hearing a class in 76 in New York, and Srila Prabhupada was describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Arjuna. He looked at the face of the people standing there, and everybody, well, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu anyway, you know, who is Krishna, there was no pictures, there was no painting, there was nothing, and Prabhupada was speaking about something nobody knew the first thing about, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada stopped for a second and said, okay, then Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God who came, he was the Spirit, etc., etc. We all know this. Now we know this. So, this is a very important principle, that sometimes we even to sacrifice our logic, the material logic, for a superior principle. So all those who doubted Srila Prabhupada had very serious problems in spiritual life, and everyone who thought, who cares about man on the moon, who cares if this is a snake or a rope, Gurudeva is telling me this, I'm just gonna do it. Second offense, to consider the Lord and the demigods to be on the same level, to think there are many gods. At the beginning of our spiritual life, we didn't know who the Lord was and who the demigods were. So there was not a problem that concerned us for many, many years. And after being trained by Srila Prabhupada, we still don't have much problem with that. Maybe in India. In India, many people are confused about who is the Supreme, because Shastra says different things. Some Shastra say Shiva is the Supreme Lord. It's called Bhagavan in many, many, many parts of the Vedas. And why is that? oh, because someone do not like by rasa or by material contamination, he cannot approach Krishna, he has to have full faith in Shiva, otherwise he will not advance. So the Vaisya say, yes, yes, Shiva is the supreme. Or Vishnu is the supreme, yes, yes, Shiva is the supreme. And like this, in this way, by speaking a non-absolute truth, see, Krishna is cheating the conditioned soul by purifying, worshipping his pure devotee one of his avatars. And then one day he will discover either he has actually a spiritual relationship with his personality, or by purification he will understand that no, I have an eternal relationship with Krishna, with Radharani or everything else. But don't mistake that. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What Supreme Personality Godhead means? That God takes many personalities. Among these personalities which are Godhead, Krishna is the Supreme. This is what it means, the Supreme Personality of the Godheads. Oh, it took us a lot of time to understand what the Supreme Personality of Godhead meant. So at the end we understood a little bit. Three, to neglect the orders of the spiritual master. So Gurudeva says something, you just do it. Not do it blindly, you have to understand, of course. It's not blind anything. You know, when I born in a city where Christianity is, in Rome, Rome is Christianity. There is one church every 100 meters, okay? So we were brought up more or less in the culture of faith. You had to have faith. And as a young boy, when I started to reason, I never liked this word. It was really bad. Why should I faith in what? I remember making questions to my professor of religion, which was a priest anyway, making questions. At the end, he got fed up on my questions because there were too many questions, too technical questions, as I was 12 years old. And at the end, he got so tired of me and said, look, religion is faith. You just believe. Just believe. Don't try to understand. Understanding is the work of the devil, he told me one time. So I thought I was an atheist because I couldn't sacrifice my intelligence. So one day I met Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada never ever told me to have faith. Srila Prabhupada always told me, try to understand, try to understand, try to understand. So although we didn't understand much at the beginning, and maybe even now we don't understand so much as we would like to, but we try to understand. Faith, it comes after. If you let's say that Krishna is 100%, and you understand 1%, you understand that it's not that whatever you don't understand is not because it's false, but because you don't understand it. Then because you realize, understood something, you have faith that by sadhana you will one day understand. And when you will understand something else, your faith will become stronger. Then by a chain reaction of understanding and realization and faith, then one day will become pure devotee. So don't have blind faith. Try to understand, as Srila Prabhupada said, and remember him personally saying that, try to understand, try to understand, try to understand Krishna consciousness. And it was very beautiful to hear a religious person not trying to involve me in his thing without conquering intelligence. Because when you understand, it's easier. It's easier to be Krishna's devotee when you understand Krishna, at least a little bit. No raise hands? No, okay. To minimize the authority of the scriptures, this also This also concerned very little Westerners, because we didn't know the Vedas anyway. And now that we know them, we know that the Vedas came from Krishna, but we have to understand that there are different, but this is a complex topic, we may deal with it some other time. To interpret the holy name of God. You know, someone say that Krishna actually means something else, the Rama means Ramachandra, the Hare means, you know, the Shakti, and the Rama is the Shaktiman, and Krishna doesn't actually mean Krishna like this. Krishna, the holy name of God, Krishna is the Krishna who came 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, Krishna Shamasunda, this is Krishna. The Hare is Radha. And if you put Srimati Radharani before Rama, that Rama means Krishna also, Radha Raman. So this is Rama, Hare Rama. Rama is Krishna with a flute. So Krishna means very attractive, and Rama means pleasure. When you chant and you feel pleasure, of course you are attracted. And what you get when you have some taste, you are attracted, you get purified, then you get devotional service, pure devotional service. What is devotional service? Devotional service is the most natural thing you do when you are in love. When you love somebody, what do? When you love your child, your whatever, what do you do? Oh, how do you feel, and what can I give you? Do you need prasadam? Do you need a dhoti? Do you need the toy? Do you need something? This is service. So if we love Krishna, we serve. That's why Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was translating the word bhakti in devotional service, but bhakti means love. So why? Because you cannot love if you don't serve at the beginning. So Srila Prabhupada, in his genius, was translating bhakti as a devotional service. You serve Krishna, and then you develop love for Krishna. Then bhakti at the beginning will mean service, and then one day it will become pure love. Six, to commit sins on the strength of chanting. Oh, I can do this because I will chant and then I will get purified. You know, I can kill a brahmana because I will go 3 times around Tulasi, so I will go around shooting people, you know. this is the logic behind this. Don't think so, because one thing is the casual sinning because of weakness, because you didn't know, you weren't very advanced, you didn't know much philosophy, so you did something, you fight with everybody out there because this is a first time in Vrindavan, and you get irritated by anyone who meets you. Don't ask me, but don't ask like this, you know. Then all these things you learn with time. And you don't do that in Vrindavan, you have to be very careful. Vrindavan, and India in general, is meant to develop you tolerance. Because if a Westerner is not tolerant, can't stay in India. No way. Okay? So then, don't commit sins with the idea of there is one devotee. This is a long story, I will not tell you. Seven, to instruct the glories of Lord's name to the unfaithful. Does this offense mean that we cannot explain the Hare Krishna mantra to the people the first time coming? No, we need to, we have to, we must do. But you don't tell intimate things behind the Maha Mantra. You don't tell people, you know, when you become pure devotee, then you will see Krishna and Radharani and the gopis dancing on the bank of the Yam. You don't tell them that, because they will, at best, they will think, oh, Krishna dances with women, he's asking me not to do anything, so what is this? And I also want to dance and bank. The envy will come out sooner or later, just a question of time, and then you will question Krishna's pastimes. So don't do that. Just tell to the people, you chant Hare Krishna, you get purified, you get liberation from the material desires, you are not this body, etc., etc. The philosophy that everybody here knows very well. 9, to be attentive while chanting the holy name. This is the most common offense that we do together with the blaspheming the devotee of the Lord. I already tried to explain something about this point. The mind is naturally very restless, very, very restless. Arjuna himself says it in the Bhagavad Gita. So then it's more difficult than controlling the wind. Try to control the wind, so it will be impossible. So then you control the mind, it's going to be very difficult. So this is an exercise. You get distracted, you're pulling back. Then and the last, to be attached to material things in spite of chanting the holy name. Our spiritual advancement will go together with the with how much we get detached from material things. You become detached, and automatically, maybe the opposite is more correct, you advance in spiritual life, then obviously you start questioning how much it's worth to risk your spiritual life for something in the material world. And you say at the end, this is not worth. I am going to try to give this entire life, this human life, to Krishna consciousness, so that I may be a pure devotee. So, if we don't get much taste, and maybe in this life we will not get back to the spiritual world, what's happening? Maybe Krishna is cheating us, is tricking us? No. Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yatatatava vidadatulam pato matprananatastusayeva napara. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not saying, Krishna, you are my Lord, if you give me some taste, please, something, you know, in chanting this holy name, make me a little happy, some pleasure. You know, he's not saying that. He's not saying, Krishna, I will chant, but at the end of this life, I will present you the bill. I chanted for 40, 50 years. Now you have to accept me in the spiritual world. I gave up. I'm a sannyasi. You know, I renounced everything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't saying that. So Chaitanya was saying, doesn't matter what you do, you still are my Lord. This is the mentality we had to develop. So this is 9 o'clock. We should stop unless there is one very quick question. Differently from demigods like Lord Brahma, thoughts do not produce karma. So if you think an offense, it will not produce your karma. The problem is that